You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen. Any marching band people out there? Hands? Yeah. Band geeks. Proud. Yes. There's nothing like 100 people completely synchronized in music and motion and energy, executing a drill perfectly. Like, there's nothing like it in the world. And I recently fell headlong into the marching band rabbit hole on YouTube. Have you ever done this? It's amazing. You should do that. Just go to YouTube, type in marching band or like drum corps. It's incredible. All the video, like, it's so fun to watch. And I was a band geek, obviously, so I'm biased, but I think you should do it even if you weren't a band geek. And it's so impressive. Like, it's a full-on team sport, you guys. What these people are executing while playing music is really impressive. But when it goes wrong, when it goes wrong, it is cataclysmic. And so in the rabbit hole that I found myself in, I stumbled upon marching band fails, which is a whole nother rabbit hole. And it's pretty wonderful. So I found this. Keep your eyes on the sousaphones. Those are the big tubas. Let's check out this video. Oh, sousaphone down. Oh no. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, come on. Guys, if you were counting, that was a 6 sousaphone down. I feel so bad for them. Like, they're in a stadium full of people, and that happened. But they handled it like champs, and they just got up and kept marching, which may be even more impressive. My senior year of high school, I was the drum major in marching band. And thankfully, that was before YouTube, because we had a couple of those. Never 6 sousaphones, because we only had 5. But we had a couple of those, pretty bad stuff. And our band had grown so much, like the marching band had grown in number, that my senior year when I was drum major was the first year we needed 2 drum majors. So I would stand on the big tall podium at midfield and conduct the band. And then this awesome girl named Amanda was the second drum major, and she would be on the sideline, kind of in a strategic spot on the field, so that everybody in the band could see a conductor at all times. Because when the band's really large, there are times when whole lines would like turn away from me and they couldn't see the conductor. And so Amanda would stand there and she would conduct the people that couldn't see me. And that was amazing, but it was really hard. Like, neither of us had ever done that before. And so staying together was a pretty significant challenge. And there was this one moment that would have made it onto YouTube where the whole snare line like turns really fast away from me and they could only see Amanda, and that was right when the two of us got out of sync. And as you can imagine, that creates problems, especially because the snare line is sort of what drives the whole thing. And so all of a sudden, the snares were playing and marching much faster than the rest of the band. And right next to the snare line were the clarinets, who were like so conflicted. I could see it on their faces. They didn't know what to do. What's happening? I don't know what to do. And the result was, like, the snare line and the clarinets were supposed to swing around with their backs to the front and like join this other block of marchers in perfect rank and file. But because they were going so much faster, they covered way too much ground. And so instead of swinging around perfectly next to the block, they just marched right into it, and it was a catastrophe. And luckily, it was only rehearsal, and it was the 90s, so pre-YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Because that my kids would have found that video. All I could do was just cringe and like watch the carnage unfold as everybody went sprawling. And that was like our drum major catastrophe because we were out of sync, like the conductors were out of sync. And even if you were never in marching band and thus far in, you're like, really, marching band, that's what we're talking about today? I would imagine that you can think of a moment when things in your life just got really out of sync, right? Things just get out of sync. It's off. Things are not in the right spot in your family, in your marriage, in your career. One false step, one mixed signal, and boom. Like, catastrophe. And today's text in Galatians chapter 5 has a lot to say about those moments. And I can't wait to dig in. Like Jeff said, my name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And we've been working through the book of Galatians all summer long. Today we're in chapter 5, like I mentioned. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Go there on the app on your phone. The scripture will be on the screen. Last week, we were in Galatians chapter 4, and we talked about the spirit of adoption, being adopted into God's family in Christ, that we are God's own children. And because we're his kids, he has sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts, prompting us to cry, Abba, Father. And this week, in Galatians 5, we move from getting in to fitting in, from adoption into God's family to learning how to live like family, how to live together. You see, the longer we live in this family, the more and more we look like Jesus, right? We're being transformed from the inside out to look like Jesus, who, by the way, looks exactly like the Father. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that develops a family resemblance. That's the work of the Spirit. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 13 and read to the end of the chapter. This is a big chunk. So focus with me. Let's lean into the Word of God. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions." Anybody relate to that? "But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses." Verse 19. "When you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. The list is long. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another, or be jealous of one another. This is the word of the Lord. This passage is bookended at the beginning and the end with the Apostle Paul's concern with how we fit together as family. Verse 13 addresses our relationship as brothers and sisters. And verse 26 goes right back to how we get along, how we treat each other. And it's easy to see why. When Jesus pulled his family together, he reached across all the boundaries that used to separate us. He crossed racial divides, political boundaries, socioeconomic lines. He brought different backgrounds and different perspectives and preferences, and he turned strangers into siblings. In Ephesians 2, it says that Christ has brought us peace and united us and brought down the wall of hostility that separated us. We weren't just strangers, we were enemies. But God made us family. Like, this is miraculous. Thank God for his beautiful family. But that's a little bit like pulling 100 random people off the street and trying to form a marching band. No one knows how to march or where to go. It would be utter chaos. Because walking is not marching. Walking is not marching. When you're walking on your own, you can go wherever you want, whenever you want. Turn on a whim, speed up, slow down, take a break. You set the pace and the direction and the destination. It's all up to you, right? You're just out for a walk. But when you march, you opt in to something more. You become part of a grand plan. You give up some autonomy in order to be precisely together in rank and file. And the conductor determines the cadence, not you. Every step, every turn, even how you step, which foot and when, and how long your stride is, how high your knee goes. You're watching other marchers out of the corner of your eye to keep the rank and the diagonal perfectly straight. So no, marching isn't just walking around with instruments. It's intentional. It's constrained. And it only works when everybody buys in to serve the vision. Now, I think all the band geeks are tracking with me, but Jeff played football, so I don't even think he's ever seen a halftime show, right? Like, you've never seen this. This is completely foreign. Are you with me? Are you with me? Like, you tracking? Y'all with me? Are you with me? Let's look back at verse 13. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Y'all, in an age that prizes personal freedom above all, this is so countercultural. You may have heard it said, or maybe you've thought this in your head. As long as I'm not hurting anyone, right? I can live my life as I please. You are free, after all. Okay, but who are you serving? In that freedom, who are you blessing? If it's only yourself, that kind of freedom just falls in on itself really fast. It doesn't last. Because true freedom is not the lack of constraints. Let me say that again. True freedom is not the lack of constraints. You can take, you like, It just doesn't work if you take the benefits of freedom for yourself without also accepting the responsibilities, at least not for very long. That's not actually freedom. That's selfishness. That's narcissism. But now that you're in the family, you don't have to worry about getting your due. Your Father has already given you so much more than you deserve. And He always provides everything that you need, right? And so when that sinks into your heart, you find the kind of freedom that serves others as a response of love. But, and this is a pretty huge but, there is a counter narrative. There's a counter narrative, a competing cadence in each one of our hearts. Verse 17 says that there is a battle for the baton. Like there's only one conductor's baton, but there's a competition for it that's going on. When you become a Christian, God sends the Holy Spirit into your heart, and that's the Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father, and immediately the Spirit begins conducting. But that's not the only voice. There is another conductor vying for control of your heart and your life, one that's actively fighting against the Holy Spirit. So maybe you weren't aware of the hundreds of wars being waged in this room right now, this morning. But read on with me. Verse 17 says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. As a Christian, you're not only marching in the band, you are the battlefield. And listen, there are times when we wrestle against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This is the enemy within me. My own sinful nature wants to do evil. It wants the exact opposite of what the Spirit wants. So what's it going to take to keep everyone marching together as family? When there's a war for the conductor's baton, for control of each heart and mind on the field. Guys, this is not like my little marching snafu where the drum major conducting out of the corner of your eye and you can just like look away and ignore their cadence. This is internal. There's no avoiding it. There's no ignoring it, no escaping the battle. Have you ever noticed that the worship team uses the little in-ear monitors in their ears when they're leading us in worship? Is that something you notice? If not, I'd surprise. There's little tiny speakers, and that's what lets the band hear themselves as they play and they sing. But they hear other things too, secret things. It's not really a secret. It's just things that never come out the main speakers to you. They're only for the band. Like sometimes somebody in the band will use a special microphone to remind everybody in the band of a musical cue that's coming up, something that they've rehearsed and planned, and so there's a reminder that happens in the ears. Or maybe Josh, our awesome technical director in the sound booth, needs to tell the band about a technical problem that's going on. And so he can whisper sweet nothings and say, Matt, your capo's on the wrong fret and your guitar battery is dead. Cool. Great. Glad we had this talk. And there's also, most of the time, a metronome keeping time. I don't know if you knew that. But there's this metronome that's playing. Do you want to hear what it sounds like? This is what's happening in the ears of the worship team as they lead us. Josh, can you? Pretty awesome, right? It's great. We call him Clicky, like the old Microsoft paperclip that used to help you. Like, I see that you're trying to play in time. Would you like help with that? That's the tempo of the last song that we sang together, Jesus, There's No One Like You. And it's such a huge help for keeping the band locked in and grooving together. And so we pipe it directly into their head. Like, it's just in there. They can decide how loud, but it's in there. But what happens when there's two metronomes running at different tempos? What would happen then, do you think? Josh, do you want to show us that? Wow, it's like the car in front of you, the blinker is just out of sync of your blink, right? Ah. I can't think straight. This is chaos. Josh, make that stop. Okay. It would be difficult for any musician to play music with that madness in their ear. But fam, this is what's happening in my heart, in your heart. Two cadences battling for dominance. Right now, the battle for the baton rages inside of us. The spirit leads, but the sinful nature never gives up. Does this resonate? Like the ups and downs of it, the good intentions that I can never quite act on. It's not just me, right? Well, I know it's not just me. It's me and Fareed and the Apostle Paul, because Romans chapter 7, Paul famously wrote about this. It says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God with all of my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. We're in good company. I think it's all of us. And the key is turning down the cadence of your sinful nature so that you can lock in with the cadence of the Holy Spirit. Our day-by-day decision on which conductor to follow gets easier as we practice. This is a skill that we can learn and strengthen in small and non-glamorous ways every day. In our spiritual disciplines, in getting up 20 minutes earlier than you planned so that you have a little bit of quiet time with God before the house goes wild. Small investments in prayer and fasting and generosity and confession and solitude. The Spirit uses each step to build our confidence that we can walk with Him. And it turns out, which conductor we follow, it makes a huge difference. We're out here marching through life. What will we produce? Will it be chaos or harmony? As we walk through life together, will our lives, will our church produce chaos or harmony? When we live life that's consistently in step with our sinful nature, Galatians says the outcome is obvious. It's a long list of sins in verse 19. Sexual immorality and impurity, idolatry, hostility, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. Like, and then verse 21 says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a terrible list with a terrifying conclusion. And in my work as a pastor, I almost never meet people who aspire to this stuff. Like when I'm talking with people, when I'm talking with you. No one has said to me, my 5-year plan, well, I want to double my angry outbursts and envy. I'm really working on it. Or I really want to lean into impurity more this year. Hear my heart. I'm not making light of this. I want you to see that we end up in these really painful places because one step at a time, we followed the wrong conductor. It all started with a single step that seemed pretty innocent, seemed pretty invisible, seemed like nobody would notice that it was in the wrong direction. But look at what happens when we walk with the Spirit. Verse 22 is really famous for a really good reason. And as I read these, maybe you have a little Sunday school melody that's going in your head because you learned this as a kid. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. These are two very different lists. And unlike the first list, I really often talk to people who are aiming for more of these things in their life. Like more peace, more kindness, more self-control. The other day, I yelled at my kids. And, you know, they were not listening and stuff, but my reaction was just more than necessary. And I walked in the other room and I thought of this list. And I was going, love? Nope. Joy? Definitely not. Kindness, self-control. I'm 0-9. 0-9. But these are things to aspire to that we want more of in our lives. And maybe what strikes me most about these two lists sitting right next to each other in Scripture is what they have in common. It's not immediately obvious that they have anything in common, but here's what they have in common. They are relationally interconnected. Like everything on both of these lists are relationally interconnected. Each one of them has massive implications personally. But no matter how private you practice them, they all spill out onto everyone around, for better or worse. Because our marching, if we're marching in the marching band, our marching is never private. Just ask the second sousaphone. It's not a private matter. If you slip up, when you fall, it affects the whole band. At best, it disrupts the flow, but at worst, you take all the sousaphones out with you. But as you learn to walk with the Spirit, the fruit of your life becomes a blessing. It's not just for your benefit. It blesses everyone around. And it helps bring transformation to everyone that you're marching alongside. That's why that we say that transforming all things starts with transforming small things. It starts in my heart, in your heart, in the moments of decision, big and small, seen and unseen, visible in front of everyone and invisible. When you face temptation, when the battle of your heart heats up, you have a choice to make. Which conductor will you follow? I just want to close our time in the Word together by reading verses 24 and 25 one last time. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Did you catch that? Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's pray.